This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 20, Episode 3.
This is Writing Excuses.
Polishing your writing lens.
I'm Howard.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Dong Wan.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Aaron.
And we're going to be looking this season at the idea that we've been talking about these toolboxes, but specifically, one of the most important tools that a writer brings to their work is their own personal lens. You've heard us say this before, that that's the thing that makes a story interesting, is you, that no one else can write your story. So that's shaped by your hobbies, your job, your history, your experience. And in this season, we're going to be looking at all of these tools, but we're also going to be doing these additional episodes where we're talking about writing metaphors, the lens that we look at, that these personal lenses that we bring to the work. For me, you've heard me talk about puppetry a lot. You're going to get a whole episode later in which I just talk about, I just ramble about puppetry for a long time. but everybody has these. Everybody has these personal lenses that are based on their experience. Sometimes it's a lens that you bring just to a single scene. It's like, oh, this is like that time that grandma did that thing. And other times it's the mindset that you have when you approach something.
I have joked in the past that, and am I joking or is it true, that I'm a one-trick pony, and the trick is A-B comparisons where B might not really fit. And I'm thinking about lenses and realized the story of the Hubble telescope is so beautiful because they put it in orbit and then realized the lens was warped. It was polished to perfection, but it was shaped wrong. And in order to get clear pictures from the Hubble, they had to study the distortions of the lens and understand them to the point that they could write software to correct for it. And I'm here to tell you that if you know your personal lens well enough to make those kinds of corrections, you'll be able to write anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is my 20th year in publishing, dear God. And if there's one question I've been asked more than any other in my career, it's what am I looking for, right? As an editor, as an agent, whatever it is, like, what's the thing that I'm looking for in a text? And the answer I give more often than not is I'm looking to see you in the text, right? If I can feel the writer as I'm reading a pitch, as I'm reading the opening pages, that's always going to catch my attention more than anything else. Because, you know, in tech culture, they talk about the unfair advantage, right? Your unfair advantage is you. No one else has your perspective, your experience, your interests. And so when I read something, what makes it feel undeniable to me is feeling your perspective in it, knowing that nobody else could write the story that you've written. If it feels like anyone could have written this thing, then sure, I'll look for anyone, right? But it feels like you wrote this thing, now I'm locked in.
I was talking to a writer who said that they worried that they were, quote, cheating because they kept using experiences from their own life. And I'm like, no, that is not cheating. That is the whole point.
If that's cheating, I belong in jail.
Right?
Yeah. It was cheating because I use heat to cook food.
Oh, no. But it is, it's like you want to play to your strengths. And yeah, we so often discount the things that are, that we discount our own personal experiences because we're like, well, that's not interesting because it's something that we experienced. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it has become part of our normal, and we forget that other people haven't had those experiences. Mm-hmm. Like, how many of you have been an elephant?
Me.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Well, you can write your own voices elephant story.
Yeah. You know, the one place where, thinking about me being in jail for cheating by using metaphor, if I were asked to write Drax's dialogue in Guardians of the Galaxy, Drax as a person who does not understand metaphor, and I found a way to paper over me using metaphor for Drax's dialogue, even though I would call that cheating.
Hmm.
I would need to sorry, Howard, you need to step away from this tool you love and you need to write something you're unfamiliar with because that character would not talk like you want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, in that respect, okay, sure, using your own voice in some regard might be cheating because you need to stretch a little further to write a character who is unlike you in a specific way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only example I can think of.
Well, and that's not so much, the character is still going to be having the thoughts that you want to have them. And one of the things that I love is that you can tell everyone, I know this for a fact. I give this this exercise where I say, okay, we're going to say, what did you say? And everybody needs to change the way it means to be a specific character. And we go through a bunch of them. And I will give James Bond. And everybody comes up with different ways that James Bond would say, what did you say?
Mm-hmm.
And that is still the individual lens affecting the idea of James Bond.
Yeah, I think I love the idea of cheating is really interesting. I also think that sometimes there are some lenses that feel fragile. They are lenses that are close to our identity. Mm-hmm. They are lenses that are maybe close to experiences we've had that we have complex feelings about. And I think sometimes it can be hard to try to use those lenses as opposed to more well-worn lenses that like we have less connection with, but like we know well because like you've seen, like, it's like if you've seen 100 James Bond movies. Confession, I've never seen a James Bond movie in my whole life, but I know he's a guy.
He is a guy.
I have a spy. He's a spy guy. So I'm like, but if you were not me, and you'd seen a lot of James Bond movies, like, you have a certain thing, and if you were going to write a spy guy, you might be like, okay, this is what they do. This is how it's done. This mm-hmm. is what they say. This is what the world looks like. Even though you might say, oh, actually, I have a completely different understanding of what it means to spy or what it means to work for one's government on working against other governments. And because I have a complicated feeling about how I relate to the powers that be in my own country or what have you. But I think those are the things that are really interesting. But I do want to just call out that they are hard. And it is possible to bump them, to bruise them, to sometimes even crack them. But I think that in testing things, in testing ourselves, that's how we strengthen our understanding of mm-hmm. ourselves. And if a lens gets cracked and then you like polish it out or you figure out the program that works through the distortion you've discovered, you actually have a stronger lens than you did before.
Absolutely. And just to build off of that a little bit, you know, the reason I'm so excited to be talking about our personal metaphors of how we think about writing and craft is, you know, we started this year in our first episode talking about intention, right? And how important approaching your work with intention is. And so as you're talking about your lenses, yeah, some get used more than others. Some are like reflexively at hand, right? I've been working on a project recently, which has involved me GMing a bunch of games pretty quickly that are pretty short. This feels like I've written a bunch of short stories in a row. And I've realize how much I'm reaching for a couple repeated tropes and themes. And, you know, especially because games are so improvisational, you're moving so quickly. So it really is like so easy just to grab that first lens. And now I need to push myself to be like, okay, what lenses are a little deeper? What lenses are a little less out of reach that I'm not using as much? They might be a little dusty and could use a little TLC before putting them into rotation. But when you think about intention, when you think about why we use certain metaphors or why we approach our craft through certain processes, I think that allows you to tap into a wider range of these lenses than you might on your own.
Well, and I want to make sure to point out as well, you know, back to that idea of cheating, bringing your own perspective to something, bringing your own lenses and your own personal experiences is what makes the story relatable. Mm-hmm. In fact, one ongoing true principle is that the more specific you can be, the more general it becomes, which doesn't sound like it's true, but it's true. If I am trying to describe, you know, some kind of generic experience, that won't be relatable to the audience. Whereas if I describe my own experience or bring my own lens and my own background to a character's very personal experience, then it does become instantly more relatable to the audience.
I looked at, and I'm not gonna name any names, but I looked at a marketing page for an AI writing tool with before and after text. And the before text was simple workmanlike prose that described how a character felt about the sunrise. And the AI reworked text was much more flowery. And as I read it and reread it and reread it to figure out what was wrong with it, I realized the character was now gone.
Yeah.
Their perspective was gone. It was no longer how they felt about the sunrise. It was words to describe color and light and warmth and whatever, but the character was now absent. And so you say, you know, when you get more specific, you get more general. Yes, when you get more specific, when you tell us how one person feels about a thing, the general population can now feel that as well. Mm-hmm. But if you take generalized AI built on large language models, you lose that completely because mm-hmm. that specific experience is now gone.
Heading into the new year, we're all thinking about what our intentions and goals are. It's hard not only to set your targets, but live up to them, especially as writers and creatives in a world that doesn't always seem eager to support you financially. That's why building your financial literacy and starting to work towards a stable financial base is an important aspect of developing your writing career. We talk a lot about the creative tools you need, but peace of mind about your bottom line will give you the space to pursue your goals and develop the career that you want. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorn lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. Head to acorns.com/WX or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid claim endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/WX. I always recommend writers have their own websites. It's important to have a place on the web where you can make sure people can find your press kit, upcoming releases, and bibliography. Even if you're not published yet, being out there and establishing a digital identity is incredibly important. So when Kinsta reached out, we thought they'd be a good fit for our audience's needs. They take care of the technical stuff so you can focus on your writing. Kinsta provides managed hosting for WordPress, offering lightning-fast load times, top-tier security, and unmatched human-only customer support. They offer you complete peace of mind by ensuring that your WordPress sites are always online, secure, and performing at their best. Kinsta provides enterprise-grade security and is one of the few hosting providers for WordPress with SOC 2 and other certifications that guarantee the highest level of security for your website. And Kinsta customers can experience up to 200% faster sites by simply moving their WordPress sites to the platform. They even have a user-friendly custom dashboard called My Kinsta that makes managing your site or multiple sites a breeze. My Kinsta is packed with a range of features that simplify site management, including tools for cache control, debugging, redirects, geolocation, and even CDN setup. And thanks to their unlimited, free, expert-led migrations, Kinsta ensures a smooth transition from other hosting providers, so you won't experience any downtimes. Plus, their 24/7, 365 human-only support is available in multiple languages, ready to assist with any inquiries, regardless of site complexity. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new members on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
Specificity when I was doing puppetry was the thing that we kept coming back to over and over again. There's something called head bobbing, which means that the character's head moves with every single syllable and it stops having any meaning at all. So you start looking for that one specific movement that underscores the thing that you're trying to convey. And I think this idea of specificity is not just the biggest level of you specifically have the ability to write this, but what is the specific story you're trying to tell? What is the specific goal that you're going for? Who is the specific audience that you're writing for? Mm-hmm. That often when you start writing for someone very specific, that more people have access to the story. Sometimes not the end jokes, I'll grant that. But speaking of specificity, let's pause specifically now.
I have a question for all of you, which is, how do you know what your lenses are? I mean, we've kind of talked as if, like, at hand, we all have, like, a nice lens catalog. But how do you, which I do, but, like, but no, how do you actually figure out what your lenses are and, like, that you are bringing yourself versus the things that you've experienced, the things you've written, the things you've seen to the table as a writer?
Sorry, you said what your lenses are, and I'm reminded of the optometrist when he opened up, he had his box from school that's like row and row after row of brass ringed lenses that are labeled. And I realized I have never before wanted something more that I don't need than I want that right now. It's just a big box of lenses. Why? I don't know, but I want it. And maybe that's one of my lenses is covetousness of brass.
I mean, you're not alone in that one. See, specific in general. I think that it is actually something that you have to think about because for those of you who wear glasses, you forget, your brain tunes out the frame. You know, there's a frame and there's a part of the world that your peripheral vision that is fuzzy. And you forget that. You tune it out until you start consciously thinking about it. And I think that one of the things that you have to do as a writer, potentially, if you want to be aware of these lenses, is to think about what are the things that are important to me? And those things that are important to you are going to be things that are linked to who you are, that are going to be sometimes different than other people. So, you know, is it important to you, the sound of the prose, is that important to you? Is the feeling important to you? You know, what are the things that annoy you? I get really annoyed by head bobbing. Like, I can't watch certain actors because I'm like, I know that you're human, but don't move your head like that.
We've attributed a quote to Socrates that the unexamined life is not worth living. I'm not going to say that anybody's life is not worth living, but I will say that the unexamined life is a very difficult life from which to write effectively.
I think you've just given me a way to unlock one of the Aaron's question. In a previous season, I talked about the axes of power, and that this was a thing that we do with characters to figure out, you know, age and all of those things. All of those are part of your lens. So if you actually take that casting worksheet and you filled it out for yourself, those are all things that affect the way you move through the world.
Yeah. I mean, my glib answer to Aaron's question is therapy, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, and whether or not you participate in Western therapy or psychoanalysis, whatever it is, the important thing is the introspection. The important thing is the self-examination, right? And there's a lot of ways to get there. There's a lot of tools for that. I mean, therapy is one that helped me very much. But, you know, it can be just finding times to sit and reflect. It can be journaling. It can be meditation. But what I encourage you to do as writers is to take time to understand yourself, to understand your own story, to understand the things that made you who you are and the things that trouble you on a day-to-day basis. What are the things that make your life hard for whatever reason? And what are the things that bring you joy? Understanding all of these helps you understand where you come from and what your perspective is. And that clarity helps you create art, right? Because the more you understand yourself, I think the clearer you have an approach to making the art that you want to be making.
Well, and therapy is such a good metaphor to bring into this, because you can do the same thing with your writing that you do with your own brain. And in fact, the writing is just an extra step in that process. If you take the time to look at things you've written, snippets that have never gone anywhere, or unfinished or even completely finished projects and try to figure out, well, what sort of lenses are in here? What kind of person produced this? You have to step back away from yourself a little bit, similar to how you would do that in Western therapy, as mentioned, and kind of analyze your own brain through your writing.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking the very same thing, which is that, like, if when you read your writing back sometimes, especially writing that you've written in a specific era, you can be like, all the things I wrote this year or 3 years ago, sometimes you'll find themes that you'd be like, huh, I didn't see that at the time, but seems like I was working through something. And here's where you can see I no longer cared about that just because it's coming through. But I also think we do a lot of self-analysis all the time. Or maybe it's just me, but like, I think it's like, you
it's
know,
not just you, but I don't think it's everybody.
Right. But it's like, sometimes you're in, people go to therapy, but also like any, if you've ever read like your sun sign and been like, yes, that is the Scorpio in me for real. Like that is introspection. You're like, oh, that part does, I'm not a Gemini in that way. That's introspection. That's saying like this part of a specific lens, which astrology is, if nothing else, a lens on personhood. Same as like if you like Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs or BuzzFeed quizzes. If at the end you're like, I'm not a Reese Witherspoon. I'm in fact, you know, whatever, some other celebrity, then you've learned something about yourself. And I think a lot of times we think of that as very separate from our writing, but you can use that to figure out what your lenses are. And then how does that come through in the way you express yourself in your writing?
As the quote from one of my freshman writing classes. I don't remember who said it, but we said it all the time after we'd heard it once. How do I know what I think until I see what I say? Seriously, until I've read what I've written, I don't really know what I think. Because at the time I was writing it, I was thinking about the words as much as I was thinking about the thought. And reading the words, I can now see the thought more clearly. And
well, it's one of the joys of doing this podcast or teaching for writing excuses generally is that, you know, a lot of times I'll be asked, like, what do you want to teach? What do you want to talk about? And what I do is I'm like, what's the thing I don't understand? What's the thing I'm struggling with? What's the thing that I've been like, oh, I need to dig into that more. And then I'll pick that. And then in having to come up with the curriculum or in talking about it on the podcast, I will find the thought that's in there. I'll find the perspective that I have.
I almost wish we had video of this session because to my eye, there have been three epiphanies in this room during this session. And that would be fun for other people to watch.
I do the same
thing. Is it that we all need to go to therapy?
I do the same thing with classes and I always hate myself at some point in that process. Because I think they'll ask, what do you want to teach on the cruise this year? And I'm like, that's months away. By the time we get there, I'll have a much better handle on characterization. Yeah. So I'm going to teach a characterization class. And then the time arrives and I'm like, nope, I have not done any introspection or learning. It is time to make that happen.
And it's like, I still don't understand the thing that I picked because I didn't understand it. Damn it.
Yeah. And this is actually a really good way, I think, to understand where your own personal strengths are. And you don't have to have like a formal class. If you have been listening to the podcast and you're like, ah, I think I finally understand this, find a friend and explain it to them. And if you cannot explain it to them, you don't actually understand it yet. On the other hand, if we start talking about a topic and you're like, I got that already, that may be something that you have a strength in that you have not previously recognized. So that brings us, of course, to homework. Because would it be writing excuses if we did not give you homework? What I want you to do is I want you to do some introspection. I want you to think about what lenses from your non-writing life shape the way you see things. Puppetry shapes mine, woodworking shapes Dong Wan's, gaming shapes a lot of us. So what are the lenses from your non-writing life that shape the way you see things? This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dong Wan Song, Aaron Roberts, Dan Wells, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.